Good morning.
Good morning.
We welcome you to worship. Thank you so much for being here this morning. Several announcements we'll make as we get started. We'd like to find out who is in worship, and the way we do that, there are pew pads that you'll find on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests. If you could fill these out, give us your name and contact information and check the correct boxes. Send it down so everybody has a chance to fill that out on your pew. And we do ask, once it gets to that last person, if you could send it back to where it got started this morning. And then when that first person, when it comes back to you, if you could tear out those pages so our ushers can collect those at the end of the service. Thank you for that. Several announcements we'd like to draw your attention to. Many of these are listed on your opportunities for the week. But draw your attention to a couple of things. Our Wednesday night schedule is back in full force. And we have a couple of classes right now. The class that's in Smith Hall on Wednesday night is Feast of the Bible. Raymond is leading that study. And then during the Wednesday nights in January, other than church conference night, we're having a class called Tech Support for Parents. This is an introduction for parents of children and teenagers, introduction to social media and Twitter, Facebook, and those kinds of things. And so that we're going to let you know, teach you a little bit about that. We're going to meet down in the coffee house this Wednesday night. We'll skip for church conference, and then we'll come back at the last Wednesday in January. iPhones, I can't fix all your iPhones. It's just tech support for parents. It's Twitter, Facebook. If you bring me an iPad that's broke, there's no way I can fix that. So there's only a limited amount of information we can pull off. But we've got Steve Overby. He is really good at fixing technology. So see him if you need help. Let's see. Full youth schedule today. And just so you'll know, including our Jamaica mission team, we are having our meeting today at lunch in Smith Hall. Mary.
Just a reminder that book club will be meeting the last Monday night of the month. And our book this month is The Reluctant Prophet. And if you have not got your book yet, I encourage you to go ahead and do it. If it helps at all, I will tell you the story begins with a woman sitting in church and God tells her to go out and buy a Harley. So if that doesn't make you think and want to read a little bit more, then I don't know what will. But we look forward to y'all reading and us coming together and getting to discuss a little bit.
Okay. We'd like to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. We're especially blessed with your presence today. If you're a guest, ushers are coming down the aisles now. They would like to give something to you. Just raise your hand right where you are. They will recognize you, and they will give you a packet of information. Inside this packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our congregation. Also, you will find a newsletter that tells you what's happening in the life of our church and a little bit of the story of College Park. So thank you for your presence today. It's a brand new year, 2012. Have y'all struggled writing 2012 this week? Yeah, but you know what? Our God is a God of new things, second chances, new starts. And all we have to do is take one step towards Him, and He's ready to do something new in us. Are you ready to do something new? Let's prepare to worship. Will you pray with me? Our Father, when we come into your presence, our heart cries out to celebrate. We are full of joy. We're full of love because you are in this place. May you be glorified as we celebrate your name. Be in this place, we pray, because it can only be worship when you are here. In Jesus' name, amen. Be seated and hold, keep out your hymnal. Mystery of God's Word this morning comes from a responsive reading that we'll be doing together. Number 707 that you'll find in the back of your hymnal. I invite you to read the dark print aloud after I read the light print. I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship.
Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may prove what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect.
For by the grace given to me, I bid everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think.
In one body we have many members, and all the members do not have the same function.
Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them.
If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, he who teaches in his teaching,
he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who contributes in liberality, he who gives aid with zeal, he who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness.
Let love be genuine, hate what is evil, hold fast to what is good, love one another brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor.
Never flag in zeal. Be aglow with the Spirit. Serve the Lord.
Rejoice in your hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer.
Will you pray with me? Father, as we have begun 2012. And we leave behind 2011. We could easily remember the difficult days. And for many of us, they were many. Struggle with pain and sickness and death among our loved ones and our friends and our family. Father, we could remember the difficult times. And Father, you certainly were there with us, as you have been for years and years and years on the difficult days. You remain. When we doubt, you remain. When we question, you remain. When we wander, you remain. But Father, just as in 2011 you stayed with us, in 2012 and on into eternity, you stay. You prove to us through the sending of your Son that you will stay. Father, this world needs to see the kind of faith that on difficult days, on good days, the world needs to see Christians who stay true to you as you have stayed true to us. So, Father, the beginning of this year, may we make our commitment to stay. Stay focused in our prayer. Stay true to our study of Scripture. Stay pure in our worship. That's what this world needs. As we face new challenges and new difficulties and new exciting days, remind us, because you stay, we stay. Remain in us. And help us to remain in you so that this world may see you for who you are, the one who never changes. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for this new year that opens up before us today and all the opportunities it gives us to renew, to revisit, to reflect, to restore. We thank you that no matter what year it is, you're the same, that you don't need resolutions to rekindle your love for us, that your caring never wavers, no matter what year it is or what we do. Help us with our resolve to be more like you and give hands and feet to these offerings we bring that they may swiftly travel to those in need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
This is one of my favorite Sundays of the year because it's an opportunity for us to pause as a church body, as the body of Christ, and to encourage one another, to look forward to a new year of service and ministry. And a vital part of that ministry and service is the group of men and women that we elect as our servant leaders, as our deacons. And I'm really encouraged by every year by the response of the members in terms of who they call out to be servant leaders. And we're excited this morning to have a time of installation and a time of ordination. We'll be ordaining two new deacons this Sunday, and I'm excited about that. But before we get to that, I want to give Larry Burnett, who is the outgoing chair of deacons, to come and recognize and speak a word to those who have served this year.
You know, a lot's gone on over the last 3 years, and I want to take a few minutes or a few seconds. It won't take, I don't think, even a minute, but I want to recognize the following people, and if you're standing after I call the last name, if you would be seated, that'd be great. John Crabb, Van Krotz, Barbie Kale, Tony Perkins, Sarah Talley, and myself. You can have a seat. During these 3 years, as I said, much has gone on, and this is also for the congregation to think about. Let me just recap a couple important items. We've had the development and the growth of the recreation service, which many people are blessed by, the completion of phase one of our building project, and finally, continued strong mission emphasis despite a strong economic downturn. We have maintained our mission focus, which is so important. To the congregation and staff, we're all grateful for the commitment you have given over the 3 years, and thank you in advance for your continued service to this church and to the community. Thank you.
Jim Purnell is our incoming chair of deacons, and I want to invite him to come at this time and introduce to you those who will be installed in new service today.
For those of you that don't know, my Sunday school class is first grade through sixth grade, and I fit in there very well. One of the things we did this morning was talk about deacons, deacon election, and laying on of hands. Pretty interesting. After that discussion, I thought that maybe I'd have a little discussion with you to explain some of that. We have 18 active deacons at one time. Those deacons serve for 3 years. After the three-year period, they're off the active deacon list for at least 2 years. We install or have six new deacons come on the board each year. The other thing that we do in this service when we ordain members is this scary-looking thing called laying on of the hands. The kids in my class and I agree that it is an odd-looking thing. But trust me, it's not. It is a great service. It is our time of ordained deacons and other people to tell the newly ordained deacons how much we think of them, how much we want to help them with their service, and that we will all be serving together as one group. I want to recognize the three deacons who will be newly installed, and when I call your name, if you'd stand and turn so they can see you. Irv Grogan, Becky Haney, Charlie Jones. I challenge you newly installed deacons to prayerfully consider the positions that you're going to take to bring new ideas to this group and to help us serve our church and our Lord. Thank you.
In addition to Irv and Becky and Charlie, there will be three others that will be joining the diaconate first meeting in about 2 weeks, so make a note of that on your calendar. But Chris Morris, Neural Godwin, and Doug Summers will all be joining Irv and Becky and Charlie. And we want to hear, as is our tradition here at College Park, for those who are serving for the first time, to give us a word about their faith journey. Let us know kind of what has brought them to this point. And I want to invite come first Chris Morris. Chris is an ordained minister. So he's gone through the ordination process for ministry. And so he is going to come this morning. He is new to service as a deacon at College Park. And so we want to give him a chance to come tell us about his faith journey.
When Raymond called me this week and said that he wants me to get up and tell people how I got here this morning, my first response was going to be, those stairs. As he mentioned, I'll kind of start in the middle, because like I told the folks this morning, I didn't want to make anybody grumble if I started when I was born. So we'll start with what Raymond has already told you, that I am an ordained minister. I went to seminary and graduated back in 2001 and was ordained in 2003 from my home church in Charlotte, which was Providence Baptist. And backing up now to when I was born, which is why that is important, because part of my journey obviously starts there. I do joke and tell folks that when I was born, it seems like my parents took me out of the hospital nursery and put me in the church nursery, and so just went from one crib to another. My dad was also a deacon. In fact, it seems like always when I was growing up, so it was probably as I grew into it and learned more that he probably served a couple different times as chairman of the deacons, but it seemed like he was always there. But with that involvement and us being close in proximity, it seemed like every time the doors were open to the church that, you know, we were there. And I shared this morning that I've got an older sister and a younger brother. And, you know, if you've got children or have had children that were small, you know, injuries happen. And they say, you know, what is the percentage? 90-something percent of all accidents happen in the home. Well, it seemed like most of our injuries happened at church. So, you know, and then I was talking with my wife this morning, and she, after the fact, and she reminded me that was about a year or two ago that we left church and went to the emergency room so Caleb could get a stitch or two in his head. So we are home. And we have passed that tradition on, so that is a good thing. But as mentioned, we did spend a lot of time in the church back in West Virginia, and my family moved to Charlotte in around 1988. And in some instances, that sounds like that was a long time ago, and other times, not quite as long ago. But when we moved to Charlotte, one of the first things that we found, of course, was a church home. And we got plugged in there. Now, if you've picked up on anything, I've mentioned two places. I've mentioned a small town in West Virginia and a big town, a big city in North Carolina. There's a lot of differences between the two. And finding a church home in Charlotte was very key, whereas there were only one or two schools in the area in West Virginia. There was, at least 12 high schools, I think, in Charlotte. So it was a whole different ball game, so to speak, but it was one that was warm and welcoming, and went through doing all sorts of mission trips and other activities that youth do. And again, seems like we just went from one home to the next, from our home in West Virginia, the church, to the church in Charlotte, always there when the doors were open. Went on through life and graduated high school and went to Western Carolina University. Was there for about a year. I entered as an accounting major. Some folks told me that as a freshman, you should never enter and declare your first year. Give it a little bit and try it out. And I figured out why they said that, because my accounting major out of five classes, the two that I was failing were accounting and intro to business. So quickly then, oh, in the midst of also, if you know anything about Western Carolina University, it's you surrounded by a mountain and a mountain and a mountain and a mountain. And there really just wasn't much there. And I figured when I first went there that being from West Virginia, you know, I like mountains. You know, I'm used to those. They don't look foreign to me. So I figured it would be all right. But ended up going more or less failing out of school that first semester. Had to backtrack. I will say, for the record, in case Caleb actually is listening, that I did pass that that semester, brought those F's up to D's, and was able to get out of there unscathed. But went to UNC Charlotte, where I went back home. I had one day where I like to say I played cards with God. And it was quite an experience. As I was sharing this morning, I went back to my dorm after I got my midterm grades and sat on the floor just thinking, okay, this is not right. Something is got to give here. So I was thinking about my major. I shared with somebody after the service this morning, as I told more detail, was that when I took those accounting classes, I had taken some pre-classes in high school to get ready because I knew this is what I was going to be. So I went to college, and when that first class happened, everything that I had learned in high school, they did in one class. And so I was in trouble. A whole year or two's worth of preparation done in one. So much for a head start. Went back and was thinking, okay, this might not be what it's supposed to be. So began sitting down thinking and playing solitaire. And I noticed that as the clouds rolled by the window, that it seemed like I can't remember now, I had it right this morning, but every time I think about it, I get it mixed up. But I think when the clouds were covered, the sun, and it was shaded in the room, I was thinking about things, life, what to do, where to go, the purpose of things. And any time that the clouds cleared away and the sun came out, I was able to make some moves and play the game of with the cards. And I ended up playing five games of cards of solitaire that day and won all five of them. And as I mentioned this morning, I said, how many times have you sat down and played five games of solitaire and won five games of solitaire? God had to be there in that, because not only did I win those five games, but I decided and looked at life, what was missing, what needed to happen, and ended up deciding that the game plan was to leave Western Carolina after the first year, go back to UNC Charlotte, where they had a religious studies department. And I could also get plugged back in at my home church, become a chaperone, help out with the youth group, and then go on into ministry. It seemed like it was a good plan. And so did just that, graduated in 97, took a year off to get ready for seminary, and started in 98, doing all those things of being a chaperone and all. But as went to seminary, started being a youth minister, working in the church, and it all kind of started there. I did about 5 years of church ministry, and then realized that the calling that I was expecting or feeling didn't quite match up with what I was doing. And so again, started some contemplation and figuring out, and that's where I transitioned from church ministry into a chaplain. I'm a chaplain at a hospice and palliative care of Greensboro. And during that transition time, that's also where a lot of the faith that was instilled in me as a kid started to take place. Before then, it was just, acknowledgement and knowing that God was there. But I think it was at that point in time when I really started feeling it, or even being wrapped up in that net of what it is. Because as the story goes, we had at that point in time, my wife and I were married for, I can never remember how long that was, about 15 months. About 15 months or so, but maybe 18. But anyway, it was long enough for us to have had Caleb at that point. So it was within the 1 to 2 year range. But she was still looking for a job, and I was getting ready to leave the church ministry, realizing that something that wasn't the exact place to go. And there was little bits and pieces here and there. It really is a much longer, larger story, but we don't have time to share all of that here today. But it basically comes down to after about 8 months of being without a job and working temp jobs, coming upon the transition of doing chaplain training. And to start that, I needed 10 weeks with an internship, and that's a non-paid internship. And so my wife not working and me getting ready to do this non-paid 10-week internship and us having a less than 6 month old or so at home took a jump. And that's where it kind of started. Realized that, and as I shared this morning, financially, we thought we were going to really be struggling. But in that 10 weeks, without receiving a paycheck, we have felt less stress and more at ease about life and the things that were provided to us. Everything from food to our rent to insurance to, everything just seemed to fall in place, not to mention the good health to make it through, especially with a six-month-old at home. One thing that I didn't share this morning that's standing out right now is that as the time did wear on, there was a time where things really were getting tough, and we knew we had stuff for Caleb, and a family member sent a letter in the mail and had some money in it. And just the way that God provided for us, we did not have any food in the house for Stephanie and I, but we figured we would make it on the popcorn and whatnot. We had about 2 weeks left. We were going to make it. And this letter comes out of the blue. We run down to Sam's where you can get the most food for the most money or the least money. And I think the letter had something like 20, wasn't that much. It was like $23 or something, but it came, our total for the food that we had was $21.70 to make it through. So again, we recognized where God provided for us. As we moved on through, like I said, started working as a chaplain, and that's where I found that the ministry that I felt called to was taking more place, being able to speak with folks, to do what God was needing me to do, help them with whatever spiritual needs they had needed in their life at a difficult time for them. And it just felt like what God was needing me to do. Fast forwarding into today and why I'm here, some folks may know that I had some health issues myself a couple years ago and had a little dealing with some cancer, and things are doing well. And the church rallied behind me and my family, providing all sorts of wonderful things for us. From support to letters to phone calls to visits to meals, and we were so grateful. It's one of those things that once again, through this church, we felt and saw God's love and reaching out and protection for us. And, just being able to continue to provide and to help and to go where God is wanting and needing me to go, and to just offer support. And as I closed this morning, hopefully to be able to give just a fraction back to the church of what we received at the time when we were in need. So it will be my privilege and honor to do what needs to be done as a deacon. That's not mine.
The two that will be ordained today are Neural Godwin and Doug Summers, and I want to invite them to come and speak a word as well. But we don't want to upset the order, because at 9 o'clock, Doug was before Neural, so we'll go with that same order in here. Never mind what the bulletin says printed there. Come on up, Doug.
Well, let me get started here. Well, Good morning to everyone. Let me see where Janet's sitting, my wife. Okay, right here, and Tim. On the way in this morning, the notes I had written, I dropped them in the parking lot. So you'd gotten on to me last night about writing notes. Well, I have my bulletin to hold in my hand, so that's the notes that I have. I will start at birth, so I'll make Raymond cringe a little. But I am lucky, though. I got to come to nursery when I was 2 weeks old, not firstborn. So my parents were a little bit more considerate there. So I was churched when I was a young child and stayed in church. I don't know where Georgia Kitchen, there she is. I had Sunday school pens down to here when I was, 14 years old. I was in church every Sunday. My Sunday school chair is sitting in my living room that my parents gave me. It's there. When we went on vacation, when Sunday came, we went to church. That's the way I was brought up. I haven't done that well as a parent to do that on vacation, but my children have been in church. Also, there's another thing that I have in common with Chris. My children have been in emergency rooms from church, especially my oldest son Matt. I think Mary Nell and Alice. They're here. I'm mixed up. They're down here. I'm used to looking back there. They've taken Matt on more than one occasion, and Raymond too. Tim maybe didn't go, but he always broke an ankle or sprained the ankle or something like that. Angie never had to go, so that was a good thing. But our children, they have always been churched here at College Park. And I'll back up a little bit, too, how we got here. We used to go to a church way across town, and we lived on Ransom Road, just down the road. And we were always late getting to the church across town. So let's just turn in this parking lot. That's what I told Janet one Sunday morning. We just turned in and came in. We sat back there about where Dr. Edwards is sitting now. Bob Doty, he's not in the choir this morning, but within 45 seconds after the service, he must have jumped out of a choir loft. He had us back there. Within a week or two, we had a couple, or three or four visits from the church. So they enwrapped us right from the beginning. That's been 30 years ago. That was a little bit before Dr. Edwards arrived. And we joined shortly after Dr. Edwards arrived. And I was baptized here on a cold February icy morning with it was ice. Dr. Edwards, he didn't call anything off. The water was cold, too. That wasn't much heat in the church that day, but that was okay. And I grew up in a Methodist church. My grandfather was a Methodist minister. Okay, a lot of people knew I grew up in a Methodist church. See, Carol back here, he's in the choir. He may not remember, but he told me, says, well, you learned how to swim. That was his comment. I don't know if he remembers that or not, but I do. And what I'm getting at, College Park has been just real important to my entire family. And they've nurtured us, and Angie, and Matt, and Tim, and Tyler, and now Alex. And we have Jason. Angie is just recently married. She's Angie Bonner. So you're nurturing Jason now. So our entire family has been nurtured. We've been lifted up by this congregation of believers. And I've had dealings with cancer, too. And it's not a curable thing. But I'm standing here, and I'm doing just fine. And my wife, she has health issues too, but we're doing okay. We're fighters. But our church has lifted us up and surrounded us many, 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 many times over. And I hope I can give a little back to the church as serving. And This is very important to me, and I thank you guys.
Good morning. I'm Neural Godwin. Today's a very special day for me. It's a very important day. It's a very emotional day for me. Raymond asked us to share our journey to this point, sort of a spiritual, how do we get here from there? And I want to take advantage of that and speak very candidly. And for my sake as well as yours, I want to speak briefly. And to that end, I'm going to rely on some notes that I've made. First and foremost, I want to thank the congregation of College Park for the confidence and trust that you've shown in providing me with this important opportunity to serve. I'm humbled by this challenge, and I request your prayers, support, guidance, and patience as I work on your behalf with the Board of Deacons. As I reflect on the journey that's brought me to this point, I think of my parents, Norman, Earl, and Peg. My dad was the principal lay leader of the Hosky First Baptist Church where I grew up. He taught Sunday school for well over 50 years. The last 29 years, he taught a radio Bible class. He was on the Board of Deacons every year he was eligible in our church, among the many other responsibilities he embraced. When I think of the ideal role model for a deacon in the church, I think of my dad. I have a long way to go before I could ever approach the kind of man that he was. But when I need guidance, I think of him, and I know which direction I should be heading. We've all heard that behind every successful man is a great woman. That was certainly true in our family. My mom was the smartest and sweetest person you could imagine. She's the best teacher I ever had. She was the rock of our family, and I'm thankful every day that she was my mom. I wish they both could be here today. Church was an integral part of our family, and by that I mean the Baptist Church. But my mom had to be converted. She came from such a strong Methodist family that her dad's middle name was Wesley. When my dad proposed to my mom, his actual proposal was, "Peg, will you marry me and join the Baptist Church?" I'm glad she said yes to both. While Robin and I were living in Atlanta, we were members of Peachtree Presbyterian Church because that's where her family attended. But for those 10 years, whenever someone would ask me if I was a Presbyterian, I would smile and say, "No, I'm a Baptist, currently attending a Presbyterian church." I was baptized as a relatively young boy and felt a closeness to God that was unparalleled in my life. It was a very special day, one very much like today, and one that I will always remember, and that memory is one that I'll always cherish. I clearly remember our pastor, Isaac Terrell, discussing the meaning and symbolism of baptism with me in his study. What I learned later was that he told my parents, while I certainly understood the importance of my decision, he was concerned that I didn't really comprehend the concept of sin. I can say now that he was right. However, 4 years of undergraduate school and 3 years of grad school in Atlanta certainly resolved any concerns that Mr. Terrell would have had in that regard. Don't get me wrong, I didn't join a biker gang or anything. Nevertheless, I was exposed to some things that I hadn't encountered during my youth in the small town of Ahoskie. I withstood many of the temptations that confronted me, but I succumbed to others. It seemed at times that even my education tore at the fabric of my beliefs. As I earned 2 degrees in psychology, I was exposed to some concepts that were in contrast with my understanding of religion. Somewhat as a result, I began having trouble accepting ideas which depended primarily on faith. I'm a very analytical and logical individual. I've been consistently reinforced, both personally and professionally, for being that way. I want to understand the what, the why, the how of things, particularly relationships. It seemed to me that whenever I asked tough religious questions, the response I received was, "It's a matter of faith." That answer appeared to be enough for most people. It didn't resolve the questions within me. I honestly began to feel somewhat inadequate as a Christian, and that many people seemed to have few, if any, of the questions that I did. They appeared to have, and I was having trouble accepting things of faith. I felt somewhat incomplete spiritually and truly envied those who apparently had stronger beliefs. When I expressed some of my questions, I felt I was disturbing the comfort zone of those around me, and I learned to keep those thoughts to myself. I wondered why I could not recapture the faith of a little child that I'd once enjoyed and others still seem to have. As I've gotten older, I've realized that I'm not alone in these feelings. I've become more comfortable discussing my questions. I understand that we cannot comprehend the wonders of God with our human limitations. I can't say I've stopped trying to do so, but I'm certainly more comfortable with the realization that the most important things must be accepted by faith and faith alone. Life as well as faith is a journey of growth. It's usually a slow and gradual process, and I realize that I don't have to wait to arrive at my destination in order to share my travels. Peace and contentment may be found in the journey itself. God understands my weaknesses and can use those to help reach others. I realize in sharing my own search, maybe I can relate to those who have questions of their own. I just wish I had a few more answers. My two principal goals in life are to be the best father I can be and to make a positive difference in the lives of others. When our first son, Trey, was born, I made a conscious decision to try and live my life as if he were watching me at all times. That responsibility was reinforced 4 years later when Brooks was born. Obviously, I've not always been as successful in that endeavor as I would have liked to have been. I've fallen short many times, but I'm a very lucky guy. Remember the comment I made about my mom and her support of Dad? Well, I'm blessed to have a wonderful wife who enriches my life every day. And Robin does a great job of pointing out to me when I go astray and helps guide me back on the right path. I can't imagine what my life would be without her. I want to close with the same request I made at the beginning of my remarks. I need your support and guidance to do the best job that I can to serve this church. I need your patience and understanding. I need your prayers. I want to thank you for this special opportunity to serve.
We are people of covenant. From pretty much the very first walk that Abraham made with Yahweh, it was a covenant. It was a covenant relationship. And so as we welcome those who will be serving, we want to have a covenant of commitment to share together. So I ask now those who are being ordained, Nerl and Doug, if you would please stand with me and respond as is in the covenant. You have been elected by your church family to serve as a deacon. Today we come to formally ordain you to the office. But before we proceed, we would like to hear your intentions concerning the fulfillment of this responsibility. Do you believe in your heart that you are truly called according to the will of our Lord Jesus Christ to the ministry of a deacon? Will you fulfill the duties and responsibilities of the office of a deacon, some of which are to be a fellow servant of Christ with the pastor in the church, to set an example of moral uprightness and dedication to the will of God, be a leader with the pastor in seeking to fulfill the mission of the church, and seek to build harmony in the life and ministries of the church? Will you seek to be a person of faith and vision, always open to opportunities for witness and fresh ways of ministry and service as God may lead? I want to invite those who are newly being installed, if you would join Nerl and Doug in standing, please. You have been elected to serve as a deacon at College Park. You have declared your willingness to serve. I ask your assent to the following questions. Do you affirm your allegiance to Jesus Christ and his church? Do you accept the office of duty in this church and promise faithfully to perform its duties? Do you promise to seek to be open to the Holy Spirit, to be used for the fulfillment of God's purpose to his church, and cooperate with the pastor and members in promoting harmony and effectiveness in all of its ministries. I want to ask also to join those who are newly being installed and ordained, those who will begin active service, if you would please stand. Excuse me, I'm sorry, those who are actively serving and will continue to do so. Do you who are presently serving as active deacons reaffirm your allegiance to Jesus Christ and his church? Do you pledge to unite with those new members of the diaconate and faithful service, seeking always to let Christ be lifted up? If you would, please say, I do. To the congregation, do you, the members of College Park Baptist Church, pledge yourselves anew to the person of Christ and his church? Do you acknowledge and receive these new persons as deacons? And do you promise to encourage and pray for them in their office and to cooperate with them in the fulfillment of the mission of the church? If so, would you please join them in standing? As your brother in Christ and as your pastor, I charge you, the candidates, and you, the other members of the church, to remember the covenant that we've made this day with each other and to carry out these promises faithfully as God gives us wisdom and as God gives us strength. I want to ask you, please be seated now, except for those who are being ordained, if you would please kneel. As we begin a time of laying on of hands, for those of you who are guests with us, I understand this may be a little out of the ordinary in the sense that maybe it wasn't what you were expected when you came to College Park today, but it's an important time in the lives of these Christians as they are set apart for service in this special way. I would ask that for the sake of time and the constraints we're under here in terms of a worship service, if we could this morning, for the laying on of hands, limit it, please, to those who are ordained either to ministry or to as a deacon and maybe family and close friends. If you all would be the ones that do the laying on of hands at this time. And then following the service this morning, we'll have a time where Neural and Doug are here at the front, and the rest of you can come and speak a word of encouragement at that time. So ask deacons and ministers if you would come and begin the process of laying on of hands. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, it is a beautiful day. It's good weather outside, but we're not referring to that. We are referring to the opportunity to love and encourage those who have allowed themselves to be placed in your service in a very special way. And God, we do pray for protection. We pray for protection for these men and their families, because we know that the world sometimes isn't friendly to those who have made a conscious choice to be used by you in a way that, Father, that serves you and gives glory to you. We pray that as the body of Christ, we would encourage, and when we have disagreements, that we would lovingly confront and hear and accept others' points of views as long as they're biblical. And Father, that you would allow us the chance to agree to disagree on the things that are not critical to Scripture and ministry. God, we love you. We thank you for the blessings of this day, and we just pray that you would continue to watch over all of us as we seek to serve you in a way that would give glory to you and to your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name that we pray. Amen. Fellas, you could take your place back in the pew there. I want to lead us into a time now of decision. For those of you that have been here, and I know it's not a traditional sermon, but the testimonies that have been offered, I think have been consistent in the sense that God has sustained these men as they have grown in their knowledge of Jesus Christ and what he offers to us in the way of salvation and grace and peace and joy and all those things that we've celebrated during the Advent season. And so I want to challenge you as we sing this hymn, "Wherever He Leads, I Go." I want you to make that your own. And if you would like to respond publicly, that's fine. I'd be glad to talk with you about your relationship with Christ. But the main thing is for you to understand that God is leading each of us on a faith journey. And our willingness to be led by him is probably one of the most critical decisions that we'll make in our lives. Again, I'll be glad to speak with you if you're not a believer and share with you how you can know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or be glad to talk with you about your faith journey. Or if you're here this morning and would like to be a part of this congregation, there are many ways that we receive members. I'll be glad to talk with you about that as we stand, or we're already standing, as we sing together, "Wherever He Leads, I'll Go."
John and Foster were coming back home. They were members here for a bazillion years. And then they went off to the mission field. And now they're back. I transferred a letter from a sister congregation in the same, here in the city. And I know that you'll come home and welcome them back. And if you don't know it, if you join us since they have been on the mission field, you can come back and introduce yourself.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.